podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
All this week on NBC4, new products to new technology. Susan Hogan is showing you how local restaurants are changing the way we dine in and take out in this new world. Tonight at 6.
A new twist on outdoor eating.
A lot of it is creating flexibility.
How one local restaurant is making their outdoor space mobile, giving you plenty of sunshine and social distance for a stress-free meal.
It's all part of restaurant revitalization. Tonight at 6 on NBC4, working for you.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Oh, that's a cheer we used to do in softball.
What? It's actually Geico's.
Whenever someone hit a triple, we would wave our bats and yell, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. But we never got to use it because we would only hit home runs. Annoying.
The phrase is from Geico because they help save people money.
Geico? Yeah, they were our team sponsor.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Right, good evening. Welcome along to the podcast. This is the bit, of course, that we record after the podcast, so we're all really giddy at this moment. That's so funny. Right, in tonight, we've got Gav Doyle, we've got Stephen Daly, we've got Ray Dickinson, we've got Andy Young, we've got myself, Phil Casey. We talk about the Swansea match. We start to ramble on a bit about that, so enjoy it. And then we talk about cauliflower wings, and then that's more interesting than the FA Cup chat, which is absolutely rubbish. Big thanks as ever to Skillzone for sponsoring us. Here comes the ad.
So, Kevin, what would you say your main skills are?
Rugby, soccer, Gaelic, tennis, climbing, basketball, shooting, golf, baseball and hanging tough.
Test your sports skills at Skillzone, Ireland's first multi-sports indoor circuit. Be the first to get 100 points and you'll also win €10,000. Skillzone Sandyford. See skillzone.ie. T's and C's apply.
That was the ad, and here comes the podcast.
It's a fair fucking shout every time you see Neil.
I know, yeah. Anyway, good evening. We're live, right? We won't get into that. We won't get into that too much. I'll just set up this whole thing. I'm never ready. But that's me. Just deal with it. Anyway, yeah. Good evening. Welcome along to the Trippers live, the TTC of a Tuesday night. Not at Skype. Don't want to go on there. We've got in the gaff tonight, we've got Gav, and we've got a big cushion for him.
Thanks.
We've Steve-O. We've managed to free from the safari that he was locked in down
Hello.
Under.
Hop
Ray Dicko in the house as ever. And beside me, you know Andy, he's the most positive FSG in man in the world ever. FSG in, Andy, isn't that right?
No more FSG in than John Henry.
John Henry.
He won't buy me a fucking yacht.
He won't buy you a
yacht. Where's my yacht?
Oh, I heard he's getting a yacht for Christmas, Andy.
Ah,
a yacht for Christmas.
He deserves it.
My yacht, John.
If you're watching, John.
He's going to get you a yacht with the Coutinho money. That's what he sold Coutinho for. Yeah. To get Andy's
yacht.
Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, lads, where are we? All right, so what's happened since we last convened in the bunker? Well, since then, I just want to say rest in peace to Jamie, who left the WhatsApp group for 15 minutes. And <we're off. laughs>
We're holding a candle of vigil for him.
It's the freaking weekend, baby, and
flowers, 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 flowers. All right, I suppose Liverpool didn't win against Swansea. In a way, it's not that surprising. What else happened? We haven't signed anyone.
It's quite surprising.
Well, we get on to that in a bit. What's happened? None of our rivals are signing players, so luckily enough, nobody is strengthening.
No strength.
Chelsea have continued on a quest to sign the weirdest centre-forward signing in the history of football, since Andy Carroll went to Liverpool for 48 million.
Sorry, that's me.
Thanks, Gav. Thanks. It's nice to hear. It's like being on the radio, isn't it?
Sorry, Mrs. Burke. Can you turn down your radio in the kitchen?
I have.
I'll tell you what I think, Adrian.
That's when they came out with that.
Can you turn your radio down the back? No! Adrian!
Turn down the radio!
First question.
Adrian!
First comment then to my Gav is, they're all amazed that this is what you look like. No, they thought your ears were
I'm back from the lab. I was in the lab for a couple of weeks.
You clearly didn't get a tan from being in the health hospital.
When I got home, I saw all the radiators out of my house. PTSD. Storage heaters in the house now. No, I'm in the Bright now. I'm back in the Bright on Sunday. It's great.
Yeah, and they're all saying it's great that we got you a booster seat in for tonight.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
really helps.
All the budget's gone now.
Yeah, that's the studio fucked.
If everything goes to plan, Gav is going to be in here next Wednesday on Deadline Day. We don't know why, but he's going to be in here with a bag of cans.
Still no, there's more than a bag of cans.
Yeah. Sorry, more than a bag of cans.
That's Wednesday, is it?
A tray? A slab?
Wednesday, yeah.
Okay. All right. And then, of course,
if anyone out there has a dongle with about 4 terabytes of data on it, they can lend me for next Wednesday. It'd be great. I'll give you the PO box number later. You can send it. I'll pay the courier costs on it.
Just let me get up the agenda here, although we never have an agenda. It was a very, very impressive agenda all the same. So where are we? All right, so look, the game, lads, it's the one thing that people have been talking... Actually, people really haven't been talking about it online. They'd be more about just talking and moaning that we saw Coutinho didn't sign anyone else, right? Irrelevant to what happened last night. Let's talk about what actually happened in the game, just as opposed to saying, well, you know, if Coutinho was there, probably would have changed things.
Well, if Coutinho was still at the club, he wouldn't have played last night. Because he's injured. So that's out the window.
That's a great point, Gav. It's a good point. It's one of the few points that isn't being made.
Yeah. So, the only point they're going to make tonight. That's it.
All right.
It's a pity you rubbed that off Simon Brundish, because he said that hours ago.
He told me to say it.
Simon Brundish said that hours ago. Gav
was playing.
Robbing other people's tweets.
I don't know. The performance wasn't great. You know, I don't think we were that good. But I thought the attitude from the start, I thought was bad. I really did. I thought after about 15 minutes in, we looked like a team that showed up thinking we show up here and we just beat this. Mm-hmm. You know, after such an intense game last Sunday where we had to put everything into it. Now, it wasn't a case of tiredness. It was just, we just had that look about us that we can take an extra touch. We can be a little bit slower on the ball because eventually we win this game. And when Swansea score, you're thinking, right, Klopp will get them at half time. He'll go through it and we'll be back on it. But they got themselves into that sort of form throughout the first half they couldn't get themselves out of it. Now, they rallied a bit, but it looked a bit desperate, didn't it, from 65 on. It looked more desperation than you know, any planning that went into it. So for me, I said it after the game, look, we're always going to lose this streak of unbeaten games. I didn't think it was going to be last night, but it wasn't around personnel. I thought it was more about attitude. That's what I've seen.
You've got to remember, we beat them 5-0 less than a month ago. Mm. So, you know, that was probably part of their attitude as well. They'd had all of that time off. You know, they'd had 8 days since the City game. Maybe they were starting to believe their own hype a little bit after sort of knocking off the champions elect. And you're right, the attitude was just seemed wrong from the start. Now, maybe things would have turned out differently had they have, you know, say Salah put that chance away. I mean, it was a difficult chance, you know, when Van Dijk put that ball forward. But, you know, it just seemed to me, you know, and then Danny Ings is being thrown on and things like that, and you just know it's...
And there were shots going in, maybe, like...
Centre-backs, full-backs, like, everyone was taking pot shots, and Swansea were just lapping it up, basically, from a fairly early stage.
Stephen, you haven't got to talk about football in a long time, because you've been down under, so anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, it was... Last night was fairly mediocre. I don't think, you know, you saw the usual... meltdown after the game. I don't think there's any major need for a meltdown. We have an excellent chance of going out against, is it West Brom next?
Or on Saturday.
Saturday and then Huddersfield on Tuesday,
which is probably the better indicator, isn't it?
We have an excellent chance of going out and getting 2 wins from those 2 games before we play Spurs. Mm. Listen, we were always going to lose a game. We probably expected that run to come to an end, or a lot of people did, maybe against City because they've been so good this season. But City are exactly the sort of team that we are going to excel against. It's probably why we'll have an excellent chance in the knockout stages of the Champions League to a certain point, especially over 2 legs, because we've the ability to really bounce off most teams out there. Mm. But we have consistently run into problems over the last couple of years when we've come up against these sort of teams. Now, that's not to say every time we come up against one of these teams we struggle, because we don't. Sometimes we break them down and absolutely rip them apart. But last night, it seemed like a mixture of a very well-drilled Swansea team. The managers come out and said that they intended to play that way. Yeah. We were unlucky in a sense that the front three were poor enough.
And if one of those chances comes off, if we get one goal last night, we get three or four.
Yeah. Their game plan goes out the window.
Had we got an equaliser 55, 60 minutes, 65 minutes, I think we'd have won that game comfortably. Mm. But unfortunately, I think our decision making in the final third, not just from the front three, but in the final third from all players, was extremely poor last night. And that's just an off game. Those things happen. Just put it behind you. There's no need to have massive amounts of analysis over it. There's no need to have a fucking post-mortem.
That's it, lads. Well done.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up and just go
see
home.
See everybody
fuck
next
it.
Wednesday.
Or let's talk about West Brom.
Andy, like, since we're not talking about football, because Steve says we're not talking about it. Anything you want to talk about before we go home?
No.
All right, then. That's it. Andy, what would you take?
Well, Steve says, like,
ambulance.
I got creamed in a tackle out there.
That's just your way of trying to put the periscope that you're out playing football before the season.
Yeah, because I'm an absolute athlete. Does it not show my physique?
BDL athlete.
I've seen your boxers pick.
Did you? Yeah. How'd you see that? You're not in that group. Oh, there'll be trouble now. Sorry, I just have to send a couple of WhatsApps.
Well, Gav was doing
the meltdown last night didn't really measure up to the performance. Like, it was just a shit game. Like, we've seen Liverpool do that before, but that was like over 18 games ago. Like, when we had a kind of performance where we felt we couldn't break teams down. I know early in the season a lot of them would have been draws. It was just one of those. It's fine lines, you know. You score first, then you go on, you romp the game. But what the meltdown was all about was the frustration of not replacing Coutinho. So if he had won last night, but played pretty shite like we did, nobody would have been going mad. But it's all the club's fault for not replacing Coutinho.
Well, I think Steve-O, your evaluation of the match is fair, right? Score one,
no,
we probably score a fair person. Well, not all the time. When you disagree with me, it isn't. But if we score one, we score multiples there, right?
Yeah.
Everyone relaxes, they start making chances a lot easier. And I think the big difference in the 5-0 Ray that you're talking about is that Coutinho scores a goal after 5 minutes of that game. He picks it up and buries it into the top corner. And all of a sudden, as you say, they have nothing to cling on to.
Yeah.
There's no chance of them getting that scaldy goal that they do get.
Yeah.
And it just changes the whole complexion of the game. And all the games that we've struggled in over the course of this season and last season, right? It tends to be, if we don't get off to a really fast start, it's always a war of attrition to see if we get anything out of the matches. Even going to the Burnley game, and Burnley has been a difficult toy up until the Christmas period, right? Mm. It was right at the death we get the winner there, and it wasn't like a
game you dogged the result there,
yeah.
And that people were impressed by that because it was a different way of winning a game.
Yeah.
Whereas last night, like I said, the attitude was off, and Steve-O said there about decision making, and the decision making wasn't as good because I think players were beyond relaxed. I think they were. You know, you can be relaxed in the game you're playing and make chances and score goals. I just think last night it was, you know, they were taking the eye off the ball a little bit in the play they were doing. But I don't know, like, it's a loss. I think, Andy, if as Andy said, like, you know, it goes like that, it's one of those games. But if you think about it, if that happens to us last night away to, I don't know, pick a fucking team. If it was a Burnley last night, you go, look.
Atletico Bilbao.
Yeah, if it happened last night, it'd be mad if it happened last night.
You said pick a team.
Yeah, well, you know what I meant.
Yeah,
don't
all right.
be fucking like
yeah,
that,
fair
right?
enough, okay.
But if it happened like that, you'd say, right, they're late, but they were bottom of the league, and that's what kills us the most, you know what I mean? But the Coutinho shows are fucking crazy.
The other thing is, though, we have, back to your point about if we don't get off to the fast start, there were a few games in that run where we didn't play well in the first half, and we'd gone in at the break, admittedly sort of 0-0 at Huddersfield. One that springs to mind, and there were a couple of others, but we come out second half with a purpose. We didn't change anything, I did feel really.
Like they were better at the start of the second half, I thought.
Yeah, but it petered out very quickly. Yeah. I mean, it got to kind of desperation stakes pretty quick. And
I thought after an hour we looked like we didn't know how we were going to score.
Like, move on to the subs as well. Like, why does he persist at leaving it so late?
Okay.
67 minutes before he makes his first sub, and he doesn't even make all three ultimately.
Okay,
I want to,
because this is the next point I wanted to touch on, right? Is there something here that is an issue for Klopp and has been an issue since he came in, that we're a great team where teams want to come and attack us, right? But it looks like the game plan for teams who look to get something out of it is basically give us the ball.
Hmm.
And don't, if they press you, it doesn't matter, just get rid of it, let them have the ball. They had 78% last night, or 72% possession last night, and it looked, in all our last 12 league defeats that we had, Bar City and Tottenham, 10 of the last 12, Our possession stats are all above 65%. Mm, it's nearly 70% plus in all those games. The game plan seems to be there, and it's down to the manager now. And I'm going to ask the question, because and I want you to have a look at two different instances. Yes, the substitutes, right? But also, the Wijnaldum thing is a real thing. He's not good away from home. He isn't. And again, he had a non-performance again last night. He was basically just wearing a random jersey there. It could have been a fan from the crowd. And then you look at the substitutions, the Oxlade coming off instead of Wijnaldum that's there. And you've got to ask the question. Gomez has looked like a player out of form for a couple of weeks and looking like a guy who needs a rest. And we know that this is a team that's going to sit back and soak it up. Isn't Trent Alexander-Arnold the one that we should, if you're going to play him, they're the type of games you want to play him in, where he's going to stretch it and look to ask questions of their fullback more so than Gomez? Andy?
So you made 3 points there. One was about the possession. So the first thing, the
carry
possession.
On in debate.
I remember early on in the season, we looked to be taking our chances a little bit earlier, as in, like, you build up an attack and you try and get a chance away with the expense of the ball. Mm-hmm. And it was obvious that, as, I mean, we've seen the stats now, like, they when they lose, they seem to have more possession. So Klopp would identify that a long time ago. So that's what it looked like at the start of the season, that they were giving up possession. And that's fair enough, because the more ball we seem to have, the less chance we have of scoring. Because we don't get the chance to get them in the transition and punish teams, player for player. The second thing, was it Gomez? No, Wijnaldum.
Yep.
So when we have the ball, Wijnaldum's not as good, because he's not doing all that hurrying down and winning the ball back and working hard. He's just not as creative as another player we might have in there that's not with us anymore. And then Gomez, yeah, like at the start of the season, it looked like Gomez and Trent were sharing that right back position. It feels like Klopp has since discovered that Trent's not much of a right back, and he doesn't trust him as much as he trusts Gomez. He sees Gomez as somebody who he can be relied upon. But there was absolutely no reason not to include Trent in a game like that last night. He would have been ideal. Mm. I think that would have been a good sub.
Gav.
I agree with Andy on Trent. I thought he'd start because of the game that was in it. I thought he would have been high up the pitch. He's a lot better at Gomez when he's high up the pitch. Gomez is better defensively in the bigger games because he's naturally a defender. On Trent, I definitely agree. I would have started him because I think, yes, we would have been on top of Swansea, but I think Trent is a lot better at getting in behind. He's naturally going to get in behind you, or he's going to get wide and service whoever's in the box. And Wijnaldum, you're right again. In a game where we're on top, he seems to be in the middle of the park and he's not hurrying, he's not pressing. Mm, yeah. He's not taking the ball from deep and running 40, 50 yards into space, because that's not the way the game is. I was a bit surprised Alana didn't start last night for that purpose. On the possession thing, there's probably only 8 games all season where we're going to have less possession than anybody else, than the opposition. We're going to have more possession for most of it because everyone's scared shitless of us.
55, 45, something like that's grand. But when you're up into the 70s, it's crazy. Like, it tells the story of the whole game.
Yeah.
That we've had all the ball in front of them, and they've lined up five across the back and then four in front of them. And you have another little cunt running them down.
What did it end up at last night? 73% was it?
Yeah.
73, yeah. 27.
And if you look at 73%, and the Firmino header in the last minute is probably the one in the box where you say that we've got in around them for being in that part of the pitch for the majority to get a header from Coutinho 4 minutes into injury time or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's the only one in the box where you're saying.
And the City game, was about the similar but the opposite way around, wasn't it? Yeah, City had all the possession.
They'd around 70, didn't they? Or close to it.
But that's what we want, essentially. In the big matches, we're happy to let them have the ball because the idea is that we would get the space behind them, then they'll have to push onto us. And that's how we exploit City.
Yeah,
in that
like
match.
Themselves and Arsenal.
But I don't think City camped in front of our goal. I don't think we were lined up like Swansea or anything like that. It was a blow for blow game.
Different way. Yeah.
And probably the possession had a lot to do with the scoreline as well. Like, once we got our nose in front, they were allowed to have a bit more ball. We took a lot less chances. But what annoyed me about last night, particularly from the wide areas, the early balls in, like the crosses and that. I mean, that's just it's totally unnecessary. Like, it's leading to nothing. You have 5 defenders across the back. Mm. They're just going to head it away all the time. The only time we were having a bit of joy is when balls are fizzed into Salah's feet or Firmino's feet, because they can take a little touch and get someone in behind.
Or spin the player that's on top of them and look to get around.
We get fucking loads. Like, how do goals come in football? Like, they come with mistakes, you know, losing the ball cheap in your own half.
Penalties.
And set pieces. Pretty much three ways. Set pieces, mistakes, lose the ball in your own half, yeah?
Yeah.
So, if a team is going to line up the back, chances are, the way we are going to have line up the back with loads of defenders, they make a little mistake, there's someone there to mop up. So, we're going to score goals from set pieces in those situations. But we're terrible from set pieces.
Now,
Chamberlain has added something to corners. His corners are pretty good. But why isn't he getting it onto Van Dijk's head? Why isn't Van Dijk in those areas right in front of the goalkeeper?
I noticed last night as well, when we did have set pieces, it was like the rest of the team are looking for Van Dijk to go and do something. Matip was throwing all sorts of shapes in the box, but he's not actually interested in going near it.
He's like a funky dancer, isn't he?
Yeah. Hold it for a second, because I think it works at both ends of the pitch as well. But Ray, going back to the substitutions, right? Yeah. And looking at, there is a common theme, regardless of last night, right the way across. There's a feeling that Klopp is very late with the substitutions. He's very Rafa-esque in that it always seems predetermined.
65 minutes minimum.
65
plus 70, yeah.
And he doesn't really like using three subs. His preference is to use only two subs if he can get away
with it. Yeah, it's a strange one.
Yeah.
For you now, like in a game where you're trailing and you've got attacking options on the bench, and I'm just saying we've shoved Van Dijk up at the end, right? You've got Solanke on the bench. Who's a striker and who is a relatively big physical presence that's there. You've got Milner if you're pushing at that stage and you're whipping crosses in, you know, take off Gomez and use him down the right flank, because his best work in terms of assists came as an auxiliary right back in the run to the UEFA Cup final.
Left back, right midfield.
It's all the same.
It's all the same.
You know what they say? Positions are mean nothing these days.
So. He picked up
tons of assists three behind the one when he was playing right midfield.
Yeah,
but you know, in that though, is there a question mark that has to sit with Jurgen Klopp saying you need to be more proactive with substitutions, especially in these games in this league?
Yeah, I mean, the first sub needs to be made earlier when you're in that position where you're sort of starting to run out of ideas and the opposition is camped, you know, on the edge of their own box, and I can't find any excuse for not throwing Solanke on towards the end, because he may not be the one who gets the goal, but he's going to be another distraction for the likes of Mawson, and that can create space for someone else ultimately. So I just think, you know, it's one thing to throw Van Dijk up there, but when you've got a big centre forward who you can throw on anyway, surely that's what
and
you
do. And he's good on his feet as well, because let's be honest about it, Solanke's game isn't about being in the air. He's not a Chelsea target. Like, Chelsea got rid of him.
And for that last 20 minutes, they were virtually no threat, really. I mean, they had one other shot on goal, which you know, Karius saved comfortably, but they weren't really a threat.
When we looked most threatening was actually when Matip went on a run into their box.
Yeah.
Like, that's when we actually looked most threatening last night. So the ideal thing would have been to have Solanke on there and overload the box, have the same amount of bodies in the box. Because confusion. Just to have the bodies there. Yeah. And, like, who's picking Solanke's going to sniff it with chance. Like, I know he hasn't scored a league goal for us yet. He's only really had a couple of goals in pre-season. But he looked bloody good in pre-season. You know, throw him on there for 10, 15 minutes at the very end. That was, you were saying earlier about the attitude from the start. I thought the attitude was worse at the end. The great teams that are trailing at the end, they throw everything at the opposition.
They will throw everything at them, but they do it in a manner where you know that they're controlled turning the screw. Turning the screw sort of narrative that people go on. Liverpool weren't last night. Liverpool, to me, like, Van Dijk's trying half-volleyed shots from 25 yards in the left channel, you know. Yeah. Salah is getting in and he should be crossing it, and he's slashing
that shot from Salah was the epitome of our performance when Mane is square to Mane and he just takes a ridiculous shot from a ridiculous angle.
But when teams camp like that, like, I remember watching, going back to 2014, we played Cardiff away, right, and I think Cardiff went one up in that game. They went ahead twice, if I remember right, but I remember a goal Suarez scored where Cardiff are camped and Liverpool pass, a ball in behind the fullback, and it's cross, Suarez scores. Right? And last night, looking at it, what I was thinking was,
if you had to say Trent on the right, you had Lallana in that bit of space, and you allowed Salah to come off that wing and get a little bit inside. He's like you said, if you five lined up in the box, you get numbers in there. And as well as that, if you can find Salah in the box more centrally, with the low centre of gravity he has and the way the strength he has, you're going to cause them problems. But we just seem to play in front of them and then panic, you know. And that's where, like, for me, I would have had Trent on. Milner's not a bad shout, though, actually, as much as people knock him. Milner is the sort that can provide something from wide, but it just seems to need to be panic.
To be honest,
that he threw Ings on ahead of Solanke as well, wasn't it, in some respects?
Yeah, yeah, he hasn't played a game for us in, what, two? Was his last game for us against Villa?
No, didn't he come on after the injury?
Did he come on? I can't remember.
He played last year against Leeds in the League Cup, didn't he?
Last league game.
Did he not come on as a substitute in one of them in the league matches, either against Spurs or something like that, where he came on for the last 20 minutes?
Somewhere on the line once or twice,
But there's a couple of things there. If James Milner had come on last night and we'd lost that match anyway, there would be a massive investigation as to why the fuck Milner was brought on.
Especially when he was
so you have to remember, most Liverpool fans, and us included at times, we're impossible to please unless it turns into a win. So you asked,
even if we win,
a few minutes ago, is there flaws with Jurgen Klopp ultimately? Of course there is. There's flaws with every manager in the league, including Pep Guardiola. Yeah.
Okay.
He just happens to be in an amazing position where they've won so many games. You look at Mourinho the whole way down. If you look at the teams in each position, every manager has flaws.
Okay, I want to push it on to the goal and also the bit that we're, the piece around the set pieces, right? Because again, analysed it to death on Sky Sports in terms of the zone. It's half zone, it's half man marking, and the whole lot. But actually, when it boils down to it, doesn't matter who you sign, right? We were all told, hang on, I'll get the camera. We're all told that Van Dijk is a leader of the defence.
Yeah.
And that this type of goal wouldn't happen when we signed him.
Who told you that?
Well, I'm going to fall over old waters here. Anyway, we're all told that Van Dijk is a leader of the defence, and that when he's there, he'll actually stop this type of goal happening because he'll lead those players and make sure that they don't make those mistakes.
But you know what
in reality, the issue we have here is not even a systemic one, because it's not about man marking and zone marking. And it remains the biggest issue. The fucking reaction to the gobshites after the forced ball is won. They expect, in the first instance with our attacking set pieces when Van Dijk is there, they're expecting him to win every single header and have every single header as a shot on goal, right? And what looks to be the case now is they're looking to him to clear every single header that comes in. And instead of reacting, saying, well, there's going to be a few which are going to go twobble around on his head, like, and we'll need to pick up the pieces. Yeah. When he makes that header, not a single one of them is reacting to where the ball is going to next. They're all just falling over the shop, waiting to see what it is.
If there was ever a criticism of our set pieces, right, that was so on the money, it's the reaction to the second balls, and Klopp alluded to it, the third ball as well. It just seems like bananas that they don't win so many second balls, that the other team are so much more tuned into it. Like, Van Dijk went up and won the header. It was a poor enough header, but he took responsibility for the header. Why was there three other players challenging for it? Why was there no communication? Was there just no awareness? Like, but the other players were trying to get involved in the first ball, and it just meant that they were off balance for the second ball.
Well, you're 100% right there, Andy.
All the other Swansea players were ready for the dropping ball, because it's quite fucking obvious that with so many bodies in the box, you're not always going to get a clear header
away. That's clearly down. That goal last night, I thought Van Dijk was actually excellent last night, even taking the goal into account. Yeah. He wins his header. It's a lack of communication, and Firmino's underneath him.
Yeah.
And he runs into Firmino as he goes to connect with the ball, and it's a poor header.
But if
Firmino's not there, he actually comes through that ball, I think he comes through that ball, and that ball leaves the box. But
again, so what happened then? Does he not shout?
Maybe I've been, and this isn't about me being critical of Firmino as an attacker. During this season, I've pointed out three or four times, either on the pod or in our own WhatsApp when we're talking about stuff, how Firmino is actually sometimes a liability in our box as a defensive element. And he has been in the past, when he was caught at the back post.
The front post, the one that went past him.
The one that went past him. And he was caught at the back post as well, because it was whipped in from the left-hand side. Whipped in from the left-hand side, and he's on the right-hand side post as well for another goal. So he does tend to have an issue, or it is an issue for our team, where he seems to be in the wrong place at the wrong time for goals that we concede. Last night, I don't know whether Van Dijk gives the shout and he doesn't listen, or he gives a shout and Van Dijk comes anyway, but that's a communication error. You know, that's an issue there.
They did seem to be more than just Firmino in it.
Absolutely, but it's Firmino that's right underneath him, that he goes over Firmino.
What happens then afterwards? Whatever you like, and you'll always have instances where the ball gets a flick or it hits somebody and it drops. Right, since the dawn of time, right, whenever the ball is dropped, every single Liverpool player that's ever been accepted since then has literally stood back for 2 seconds to figure out what the hell is going on. Whereas every other team we seem to play against swivels and turns and kicks it.
Is it a mad that when we're shit from set pieces, but I'm our shit with set pieces as well. But when we eventually do score, it's normally you just get up and you get that lucky header straight into the goal, directly from a corner. How come we don't score scrappy goals in the oppositions?
We don't seem to react to the second ball when it's the other way.
We don't react to the second ball either end of the pitch. Yeah. but you headed it, I wasn't going for it.
And a funny thing is, the team are so well drilled to second balls everywhere else in the pitch, because this whole gegenpressing thing is all about the second ball, the opposition making a mistake.
If you had said gegenpressing 2 years ago, right? Seriously.
I think you deserve a slap for saying it tonight, to be honest with you. Fuck 2 years ago.
I didn't make up the word.
Gegenpressing.
You didn't make up the word?
If Klopp uses the word, it's all right with me.
That's your new rule, is it?
The thing is, if you watch the goal back, right, for me, Van Dijk...
Cock and stuffing.
Van Dijk, to me, looks like he knows... Firmino's not going to make it, and he kind of he's nearly covering
desperation
him.
Almost.
Nearly covering him, and as he goes up, because he half has it, it's like I have to get there. It's not the greatest header, it's into a danger area, as Dicko says. I know one Ray, and I'm not calling it fucking Ray.
Dicko.
But the thing is, it drops into that area, right? But we're all talking about this goal now, we've talked about Van Dijk. We can't name one player that's in around that ball.
I can.
We can't. But what
Gomez,
is,
no, but what Oxlade Chamberlain, Emre Can, is, Matip,
if
Mignolet.
If we react, right, you're only naming the team, right? But the thing is, if they all dive at it and it happens, your man volleys it, hits off someone, goes in the net, you say, look, we reacted, it was unlucky. You can't name a player in there.
Who made an effort to get to it.
Oxlade Chamberlain is the nearest to it.
There was an element of it being unlucky, because actually...
I was unlucky.
Because it gets to Fernandez first.
Yeah.
And he miscontrols. He goes to sort of take some kind of touch and it just bounces off
him. Yeah, it bounces off him and it falls to Mawson.
Hang on.
And he just puts
it's now hit Van Dijk's head.
Yeah.
Randomly hit a Swansea player, right? And fall into another player, and all our players are still going.
They're still falling over the first ball.
Now, hold on. We can't go too over the top, because if you look at it, 18 games unbeaten, and for the majority. Defensively, being fairly
being
good,
solid, yeah.
And from set pieces, being
someone
being
put
good
someone
as well.
Put a stat up there. I think it's 51 corners since the last one conceded.
This is the problem with us.
We get 51 corners a game. It's bizarre.
The amount of corners we create.
It's going to get to the stage now where, we get a corner, even the crowd won't react. There'll be no reaction. We refuse to
set up defensively. When we get a corner, we set up for defending a corner, because we know what's going to happen.
There was a couple of years.
But you see, the zone thing is what annoys me, and people say, was it his zone?
Fuck off now.
Listen.
Don't start this show.
No, I'm not going
to. Don't start this show, Jimmy Hill.
We cleared the zone.
Back in my day, we didn't have zones.
Why was there nobody standing in the post?
We didn't even have football boots.
But what I'm
Why
saying,
was there nobody standing? If there was somebody standing in the post, he would have just kicked it away from Karius.
If Karius was on the post, he would have saved it. But the thing is, when that ball drops, not one fucking player is thinking, is that my zone? No fucking way. The ball is there, go and get it.
But Gab, there's not a single player saying that.
Like you said, it bounces off a player. It comes out, it bounces off a player, and then it drops another player, and nobody's there. And I can't even name you who's there, because I'm just looking going,
that's because you're mental.
I know I'm mental.
You're losing the plot at this stage. Look, you're screaming at the television.
Solitary confinement has not been good for me.
Somebody fucking do something.
It did annoy me. The goal annoyed me. But look, you just, with the game itself as well, you just have to take it as it's one of those days. Get over it. I know how people feel, because when you do lose, you wake up next morning, you don't, because half an hour later, you don't fucking care. But
seems fair.
I wake up next morning and you do get that feeling like, are we gonna make a bollocks of this? And you're kind of going,
hold on, 18 games, lads, relax.
You know? Okay, let me ask on this, because, and I just want to take away from the goal, because I want to look at, there is a valid question that people put to us, that the midfield had no control last night again, and we're reliant, that people are saying Chan was shy and that he's too slow with passing the ball. You've got Wijnaldum, who just doesn't turn up in away games. You've got Oxlade-Chamberlain, who was a great player for those games against Manchester City, but I'd still question your need to have somebody who can control the tempo of a game in a match like that, where you're going to have all the ball. Sometimes you need to move it quickly, sometimes you need to move it slower, but we seemed to have a constant tempo last night, which seemed to be side, 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 take it, go back, but nobody was there to quickly change.
Adam Lallana will do that once he's match fit, and that is the difference, and he has done it when he's been fit, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. I don't think Adam Lallana is able to work in tight spaces and dictate.
No, he can. I don't think he can dictate tempo. I think he can work in tight spaces and he's good at breaking the lines in the final third. I don't think, when it comes to somebody who sits in when you've got all that possession, to be able to ping passes and change the tempo of a game quickly. So to move the ball from when he gets the ball, to be able to know how to move it, shift it to the left-hand side quickly to open up another space, because most of the players are grouped on the right-hand side.
The tempo in a game where the opposition is sitting back and you've acres of space in midfield, you don't need a good midfielder.
The issue last night was not being able to break lines and not being able to tread balls into give our front three, who were static as fuck.
But that's what a playmaker was.
People have blamed that midfield three loads today. I've seen loads of. I don't think there was an awful lot wrong with our midfield
there
three
wasn't.
Because they didn't
there
lose any.
Wasn't.
They didn't lose any battles. They held possession of the ball. They used the ball and utilized the ball into the front three. The front three did nothing with it. Now I admit that it could have done with one of the middle three maybe breaking the lines on in past the front three.
Yeah.
Fair enough, but the front three that we're playing, the way we're set up, we're not expecting that from our midfielders as much, because we expect our front three. The problem is at the moment as well, Mane is like fucking Peter Lovenkrantz. That's what he's like, fucking Jordan Ibe. He's a straight line
Jordan
player.
Jordan Ibe's doing well at the moment.
Well, fuck Jordan Ibe. I don't care about
him. He's called Jordan now.
Michael fucking Jordan. He could be fucking Eddie Jordan for all I give a bollocks.
His stats radar is gone off the charts.
I don't give a bollocks about his stats radar. He's a fucking straight line shite bag. And that's the way Mane's playing at the moment.
Mystery man.
He can't beat a player. Mane can't beat a player.
He's the mystery player.
Small X Big G. Small X Big G 90. Small X Big G F.
Yeah.
Small
fucking X Big notorious B.I.G. for fuck's sake. It doesn't matter. Mane cannot beat a fucking player at the minute.
His form is really poor, isn't it? And it is hurting us, you know.
Of course it is.
Because we're now relying on three instead of four. are we going to roll that agenda out now?
One bad game after 11 brilliant games. Told you he was shy.
Steve, Huster Frankie just was on and just said, literally, Steve was having a mare tonight.
Okay. People always think I'm having a mare. It's because they're wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry, Huster Frankie.
I don't know. Like, I don't think there was much. There was much required out of midfield last night. They fucking had. You couldn't have picked an easier. No. You couldn't have picked an easier game to play in midfield.
No, we don't do goals from midfield. No. That's why we have three strikers. No, that's bullshit.
I mean,
goals from midfield. No.
Every time Chan shakes to shoot,
I don't want my keeper saving shots, and I don't want my midfielder scoring goals.
Right.
That's not how we play around
Any
here.
Any quick reactions would be fucking, would be looked and frowned upon. in a big way.
Any incisive play from midfielders off.
But when you're talking about tempo and control in midfield, we weren't playing against a team that was putting it up to us.
But the tempo, the tempo thing is a valid show.
Yeah, the tempo thing probably is a valid show. But at the end of the day, them three players in midfield, like Steve-O said, you want players in a game like that to break lines, get into tight space.
I feel like I'm sitting with
happen.
A bunch of Rafa's here.
But these lads there in the midfield, like Jean, should be able to sit there and dictate.
Who's Jean?
Jean, Emery Jean.
Oh right, okay.
You know him.
No, I haven't come across him before.
He's still here. He was here when you left, and he's here now to job back. Right,
fucking Jean.
Right, he should be able to dictate tempo because he's in a position to be able to control the tempo again.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, they're sitting deep. Wijnaldum isn't going to run beyond the play in that sort of game.
He could
in a stretch game. He has the engine to go and, you know, get beyond for it, but not in that sort of game. And as much as Oxlade-Chamberlain has been good since he came in, he's not going to do it neither. Oxlade-Chamberlain spent most of his career at Arsenal out wide, where he was taking on people, not running and breaking lines, as Steve said. The personnel in there was wrong, not the way they tried to carry out that game. That's what was wrong. where that's where I thought Lallana could have started. But I still go back to it. It's one defeat after 18 games. We need to calm down a little bit. Just a little bit. And I think the Huddersfield game is massive. I think the reaction there will tell a lot about the game last night. It will tell if it's just a blip, or it will tell as if we're running out of legs. You know, well, fuck West Brom. Yeah, that's only the cup.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's a big game.
Yeah. We're better off out of those shitty cups.
No, it's a big game in its own way. I think we do want a cup run, but at the same time, like getting back to the league business and getting 3 points is completely crucial now to how this whole top four battle is going to pan out, because if we don't win that, now this is another team that we beat handily ultimately at Anfield, and you know, so we've got to get those 3 points, and then obviously we're on to the Spurs game. I personally would feel more confident right now of us beating Spurs than beating Huddersfield, to be honest with you, because we just seem to bring our A game against the likes of Tottenham, Arsenal, City. So I wouldn't have a problem with them getting themselves motivated for that. You just got to hope that there's no sort of hangover from this defeat.
Okay, I just want to touch briefly on transfers tonight, because Indy Coyle has just revealed that we're working hard to do a deal for Lamar for 60 to 65 million or 70 million.
Can I just...
Who cares?
No, just saying.
There's an appetite for this.
That's why we have Grizz. We have Grizz for this shit.
Grizz is in Butlins. He's not away for
Grizz has just said hello from Saudi Arabia.
He's not in Saudi Arabia.
He's in Saudi Arabia. He's in fucking Pueli.
It's quite telling that Grizz...
Cunt up in Wales and Pueli.
Now is reverting to just saying Chan's signing his contract.
That's only because Matt's telling them to.
That's as good as a new signing.
There's an appetite for this bullshit now since last night. You know, everyone's
going to be mad. I said it last night, the panic's going to set in now.
There'll be an appetite for the next 8 days as well.
Well, it's lucky that we know what's really happening on transfer deadline day. And if you want to find out, then you want to stick with us here live on deadline day.
And every 35 minutes, the camera will cut out and we'll have to get up and turn it back on.
Gav Doyle is taking you through from
a bag of Jans.
A bag of Jans. Special guests. Bag of Jans, Grizzly Jans.
Jan Bonds.
Jan Bonds. What sorts of Jans going on that day?
Grizzly Jans. I was saying on Twitter there the other night, Kate is not in the squad.
Yeah.
And, that was brilliant.
And Indy Gaelic replied saying, can you please stop creating this fake hysteria or something like that. My God, what his mentions must be like. Yeah. The abuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
The abuse of replies he was getting. And it was all in my timeline. Cause
I'm going on record here. The most trustworthy ITKs on the internet these days are Grizz, Andy, and Indy, and Matt as well.
Matt doesn't
really know about the signings, but he does know about contract renewals.
And he knows about buses. If you want to know when a bus is coming along, just give Matt a shout.
And while you mightn't understand what the bus is, trust us, it's the best thing to look out for. So when you see the bus coming. Don't miss that bus, because you'll want to be on it. That's all I'm saying.
fucking handy wrapper bus.
But it's a good question. Somebody put it there. Are we missing Klein? I can't remember. Whoever would have said it, thanks for telling us. Are we at a stage now where we are missing Klein? I personally think we are. I think it would be nice to have...
missing who?
Klein.
Nathaniel Klein.
I seen this raise his head last night. Why last night did we specifically miss Klein? We could have had Trent on the pitch to do kind of a different...
Hang on a second.
Gomez.
Nothing.
Because you don't have to play Matip as a centre back. You can play Gomez there as a centre back instead.
Sure, you can play
Matip is git.
But you can play Trent.
I haven't even started on Matip. That fucking basketball player shouldn't be anywhere near the football pitch. He's just the German Martin Skrtel, and he's gone fucking right in the bin. He's gone straight to the bin.
He's regressed big time.
Yeah, well, a lot of people want Martin Skrtel back. Did you not see the effort?
Well, this is one of the main things on transfer talk and mystery players. Yeah. The big Martz is crawling around Bellwood.
Are we missing Nathaniel Klein? Nathaniel Klein is a great right back. He's the best right back we have at the club. But nothing in about England. Last night or at the moment.
He's the only right back we have at the club.
Well, he's not.
Well,
Trent is a right winger.
Gomez is a centre back.
They are now.
They're not right backs.
Did you decide they're not? Klein is
Gomez and Trongsdar.
See, it's all the Jans.
Klein is officially a right back.
Officially, he's officially.
You check Wikipedia. is that on the roster? Is it?
Yeah.
It's on transfer. It's on transfer.
Of course, we could do a climb back, but nothing about him being back in that side would have made any. Nothing about having him back would have made a difference last night because he's actually quite poor in the final third.
Yeah.
So he would have offered us nothing.
But
he didn't struggle.
In around
he would have kicked marbles against
the
man.
Fuck off. I'm not even answering. He reacts in around the box and kicks it wide.
It stands on the back post.
Yeah.
Could have kicked it clear.
Fuck off.
He'd have been on the post.
I'm going home. I'm going home. This is fun.
He'd have been on the post. Are we missing Klein? We probably are. But I think Klein would be similar to Gomez. He's really good defensively. He's fast. He's a bit better than going forward. But going forward, he's nowhere near as good as Alexander-Arnold is. No, not even in the same league, I don't think. I don't think Klein suits their play.
But do you think he suits it in a defensive way. But do you not think we need to get Matip out of the team because he's going to ruin Virgil van Dijk?
There's been a lot of debate, hasn't there, about Virgil van Dijk? There's been
a lot of debate. What was wrong with Lovren last night, by the way? Is it?
Okay. What?
Had his period.
Why do footballers get so much flus?
Because they're out in the open all the time
training.
Yeah, but
kissing each other in training.
The flu is a virus,
so you don't get it from the cold.
It was just a mess, Andy.
I wasn't actually serious.
You just realise you were being shot.
Jump on someone's back, the last one on their back and all. It's that training drill. They're too close to each other.
Too close. Nits is meant to be rife amongst footballers. They're always rubbing each other's hair and everything. It's like a big crash.
Footballers are, and particularly Liverpool players recently, they're always sick.
Yeah.
Always sick.
That's why they're moving from
They're always sick. Yeah.
Antibiotics don't.
You should have seen them when you were away.
Treat the flu.
Yeah. Sure, everybody was down with the flu when I was away.
It was mad. Isn't it always going around, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every time, if you know anyone that gets, it's going around. It's always going around the flu, isn't it?
The chicken legs should put antibiotics in.
Does the flu ever take a break?
Does it ever go on holidays?
But it heads off somewhere else, comes back then.
Yeah, I know, but it's always fucking going around.
But it goes to Australia for the holidays and they call it the Irish flu down
there. Yeah, he brought it with him.
Yeah, I know.
I sent it over.
The chicken ladies should put antibiotics in
their
breakfast.
No. The chicken ladies stick. Someone made a good point. We eat 55 million chickens a day.
Oh, I have the screenshot. But do you want
to? Who, the Irish people, or the world?
In the world.
The centre on the
Belgrade Road. That's just chicken fillet rolls. Yeah. Out of the fucking centre on Dame Street, people out our face.
But the argument is if the vegetarians don't shut up, what are we going to do with the extra 20 billion chickens a year we're going to have?
And then your man said,
Grizzle sell them, won't
listen, your man said, join
Grizzle. Grizzle be doing a 3-1-1 special.
Your man said on the tweet, listen, vegetarians just need to join in on this cause. We'll start this out and then we'll start on them bastard cows. It's fucking brilliant to me. I sent it to a vegan.
Was it Andy?
Fucking
no, she's a pretend vegan.
The one I said
they don't do social media.
Huh?
Except the militant ones. The
pretend ones do.
Chicken wings, right?
Yeah.
Someone put cauliflower wings up.
What? It was just pieces of roasted cauliflower Frank sauce on it.
Yeah.
Cauliflower wings. They're just as nice.
You could have, the sour cream was like fucking, sour soya beans or something like that.
Oh, because you can't have cream.
Yeah, no, you can't have vegans.
No animal products.
Do they have fake bones in them as well?
And I would, I would have said Frank's hot sauce had some sort of animal in it.
Well, I just hope Klein comes back soon. That's all I hope.
What the fuck is Klein got to do with
it? Thanks, Gav. Gav tried to bring us an excellent segment back into the next point on the agenda. Anyway, I really wish we won last night.
I really wish we won. So, Gav, ahead of the transfer deadline.
That would have been nice.
I'd have felt happy had we won last night. I like winning.
I don't like losing. Yeah. It ruins my day.
Yeah. 3 points.
Ruin my day.
Would have been nice.
3 points.
We like points.
Yeah. So would have been 3 more points than we got last night.
We'd have 50 points now if we'd won last night.
It's a bit disappointing, though, I'll say.
It's 50.
I'm not happy with it.
You're not happy with it? No, right.
But what wasn't nice.
But what?
The result.
The point.
Oh, cauliflower chicken wings.
Yeah, order.
Cauliflower wings.
Did you ever do cauliflower rice?
No. Yeah.
Oh, what
actually,
a
I do. I have done. I have done. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Is that right?
It's okay. It's okay.
It's not.
No, it is all right, but it's not cauliflower rice. Sauce, what, really. You're, cauliflower. What you're having is, you're having, if you want to try and get, I don't like cauliflower, so if you want to get some fucking veg like that, if you want to get some fibrous veg into your diet, then yeah, it's grand. You know, you fucking roast it, blitz it up in the, or you blitz it and then roast it, and then you bang it in with a curry or something like that, and it gives you that kind of stodgy.
Bite and stuff.
Yeah, that stodgy, starchy element without eating rice, but it's only okay.
All right, so look, what's happened the weekend? Oh, we're playing some Poxy Cup. We're playing the fucking FA Cup. Jesus Christ.
The FA Cup.
I don't really, honestly, okay, so let's pretend we care. Gav, we're playing someone.
West Brom.
West Brom. Saturday night.
Is it on the television?
7:45.
Yeah, it's BT.
There's only American football on us now.
It's a question. Ray should do all our promos. All our promos.
Saturday night, 7:45. BT.
I love
it's
it.
Brilliant. Saturday night
great.
Football.
Sounds great, pal.
Is the FA Cup on Fox or TSN?
Who?
Just for anyone who might be on Jan Janssen TV.
NBC, SMO.
He's going through on go.
Be in.
Oh, we're fucking
kick out for he gets into the box and then all of a sudden you just see everybody going
and let's see it again in replay.
Anyway,
and then you get onto your provider and you're just told you're going to be threatened with solicitors.
Yeah, listen, I think my broadband's a bit slow because my illegal stream isn't going through too well.
This NFL network has gone really slow.
Anything Richard Branson can do for me on that now?
Right, so West Brom, who's the manager? Pulis, one of them. Which one is it?
No, Pardew.
Same thing.
Our fucking
all the Pardew
and
Corbisley. Corbisley. It's all the fucking same, right? They're all the. It's the same person.
Generic right wing Englishman.
Some version of Hodgson
Pulis
is managing
might
these.
Be back. He might come back, mightn't he? For Watford, do you think?
No, they've already got a new manager.
No, Pulis is Middlesbrough manager.
What?
Pulis is the Middlesbrough manager, yeah.
But Watford have already appointed
a
manager.
He's wrecking teams up and down.
Yeah, they have.
They appointed a manager about 4 minutes after they.
Javi Garcia, wasn't
it? No, Terry Carvajal.
He's an actor, mate.
No, Javi Garcia.
Terry Carvajal. Same fella was managing Swansea. Anyway, go back.
Andy Garcia.
West Brom.
He played a manager once in a movie. They gave him the job.
What round?
Fourth round.
Four players on post.
What? Fuck off, Phil, will you?
He
pretends this. He pretends that he doesn't know anything about it. He knows
I pay no attention to the FA giving it that.
It's a cop. Pardew was the West Brom manager.
You were going full FSG out earlier on saying one trophy in 7 years. They can't win any trophies if you hate the FA Cup.
My issue with FSG is that they're taking money out of the club and they're putting it into the Red Sox. That's where my issue with the club is. Right, where's the TV money gone? Where's the Coutinho money gone? Right, they basically bought Keita and Van Dijk
and the fucking Major League Baseball.
And then they got that money and they went off and bought a Major League.
I don't think so.
You know, they got Kenny Dalglish to sponsor the main stand.
Out of his own pocket. The book he hasn't got a bean left.
No, he was filed for bankruptcy this morning. Yeah. Yeah. Because he had to pay for the centenary stand.
They called a stand after him but wouldn't shake his hand.
It wouldn't even come over to shake his hand.
No.
Didn't even sack him. They just sent a text. They brought him over to Boston, wouldn't even let him into the office and just sent him a text. So if you want to know, if you're into those type of owners, then it's on you. You deserve what you get.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't ever say that this pod isn't FSG out because it's FSG out to the core. Yeah. Do you know they even took the steel out of the truss? That's Lego that's holding up the truss these days.
Yeah.
Just wait till a big wind comes along. We're bollocksed, right?
Just a lot of wavin' holding it up.
That painted steel colour, grey. What's your name again, Gavin? West Brom. What team do you want to see?
Mignolet in goal.
Why?
Because he's the cup keeper now.
He's the cup keeper now.
Can we not put Ward in goal?
What?
Can we not
Ward
put
doesn't exist. He's not even, doesn't even play at Liverpool.
Can we not play with no keeper then?
What? He's Mignolet in goal.
Right, I'm going to stop you. Unless if you say that again, I'm not letting you finish that sentence. Right, so start again. Think about it.
Trent the right back. Moreno left back. I think he's back in full fitness, isn't he?
Yeah.
If Lovren can get over that flu that's going around constantly, play him. And I
come
play
on, because I want to go home.
Gomez with him.
Why would you do all this?
A few people.
Who else is?
We're playing an FA Cup game, like we're a chance of a trophy against a Premier League opposition. You're making 11 changes.
No, I'm not making 11 changes. Yeah, I've only got four in.
Yeah, but
I've only named you four.
Technically, Gomez is a change if you move him into the middle.
Jan. Emery Jan.
Jam. Strawberry jam.
Jam. Space jam.
Space jam in the middle.
Wijnaldum. Lallana.
Which flavour jam?
Firmino.
You're playing Firmino in this thing?
Mm. Firmino. Yeah,
he's playing DM.
Firmino, oh. Solanke.
DMs.
And the other fella, Salah.
Ings.
I'd
you're playing Salah in this fucking... Yeah. Now Salah, remember, we've got a league match on Tuesday. So keep that in your head.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Right. Right. Doesn't matter. They can play. It's fucking... Well, it's
these lads are all robots. They're not even humans.
Should they get paid enough, don't they? Why would they need rest? Should we be playing two matches a day?
Something like that. I don't know what way the fucking team be.
All right, Grant. Steve,
I'll be there and watching it.
Gav is not even watching it, and neither am I.
Mignolet,
Alexander. I would go a load of changes. Alexander Arnold, Clavin, Lovin, Moreno. That's an absolutely acceptable back four that we've played in the Premiership this season. So nothing wrong with it. Mignolet's played loads of games in goal. That's fine. I'd play Marko Grujic back off loan for the day. No, but midfield probably. Oh fuck, you're actually light enough in terms. You're going to play Milner probably. Give him a run. Give
Ejardia.
No, he's not going to get near it. He's not getting near squads at the moment.
Maybe Milner, Jean, Lallana.
Woodbourne.
It'd be Kevin. You'd want 90 minutes out of Lallana so that you can get 35-40 of them. No, Woodbourne on the bench, give him 20 minutes maybe. You'd have Lallana, Milner, and probably maybe Oxlade-Chamberlain. He's probably got the legs to play two games in 3 days. And then up top, you're looking at playing Solanke. You're looking at probably giving Ings a run. And you probably want to play Mane to just give him that chance to have another game and hopefully it goes right for him against West Brom.
So that's how changes, yeah?
No, just eight, I think.
Ray, would you agree with those changes? Would you add anything else in?
I think I'd go closer to Steve.
All right, Grant.
Thanks, Ray.
Team than,
funny because I said fucking Mignolet.
I'd go as close to full strength as possible without kind of just jeopardising the fucking following game.
Play Markovic.
Play Markovic.
Give him a game. Jeff, fuck it.
He was gone.
I always forget he still plays for our club and he costs 20 million pounds.
When they do all that magic with the things that are strapped onto the players, they find out who's tired, drop them and make your changes from there. And
okay, I'd go with Ward and goal because that thing never needs to play again.
That thing is
camera.
Good thing.
It's always really when Phil's fucking camera.
Fuck this camera.
Fuck this camera.
Fuck you, camera.
Need to get a betting company to pay for cameras.
Soon, my pretty.
Ward and goal.
Yeah.
Cloyne. Ward and goal. Cloyne, even if he's half fit, just play him. Klopp at left centre back.
Bilbao.
No, Clavin. Same age.
Bilbao Baggins.
Left back, somebody. Right back, where are we? Midfield, I'd play Woodbourne, Milner,
Redsbet,
Barry Tucker,
Redsbet, yeah.
Who
it's all for charity.
Markovic, play Markovic in midfield.
50% of it is.
Oh yeah, no,
up front then Solanke, Ings, and whoever was on the bench, Lallana. No, Lallana midfield with Woodbourne and Milner, and then play Ings and Solanke and whoever.
Phil,
else.
You'll have that on Jan Jansen on Saturday, won't you?
Well,
big glass of wine. You'll take a selfie. Jan Jansen.
No.
You will.
Look at Grizz. No. Grizz is a legend. He comes in with fucking Hendo. Hendo's dead, you fucking agent.
Hendo's back. He's back in the back.
He's still dead. He lost 22 minutes.
He's only got four games left this season.
22 minutes and go off injured again on the oxygen.
Henderson has only got four games left this season, so we need to spare.
Three tokens left.
Yeah, play those games sparingly over the course
FA
of
Cup.
The FA Cup run.
He's playing the final.
Could be our Cup captain.
Yeah. He could bring us right to the semis and then don't start him in the final.
Yeah.
Just like he can walk up the steps.
Okay.
So we could just change on Wikipedia, change it to a right back.
So Gav, do we win the game? Aside.
Yeah, we win the game, yeah.
Yeah, Steve.
I think West Brom will go make changes as well.
It's at night time.
So what?
They're going to win it.
It's going to be an amazing episode.
It will actually, because it'll be quarter to seven. It's going to be quarter to eight or whatever it is on a Saturday night. The crowd's going to be half cut.
No,
they're going to be fucking roaring and shouting. And if they don't beat West Brom in the cup, then they don't deserve to be in the cup.
Yeah, it'll be amazing. An amazing atmosphere. It's not a big game.
You won't be watching it anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
We'll tell you all about it.
Yeah. Ray,
yeah, 3-0.
We won, Phil.
All right, great.
2-0.
Are we in the next round? Brilliant.
Yeah.
Don't care. Andy.
Yeah, we'll win if we don't make 11 changes.
Mm. We're only making 8, Andy, I just told you. Fucking easy.
Very upset with our team, isn't
it? Yeah, Grant, Huddersfield, we'll cover off. We'll probably do we'll,
that's Tuesday,
that,
isn't it?
It is Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
You get to cover that off on Wednesday doing the deadline day.
I'll cover everything. The whole lot.
Sure, unbelievable.
Wait, you see the fucking generator I'm going to have to bring in here just to get the thing sorted.
Right, so, did we get any trip?
I'll be on my own for that, only.
I don't know.
Just on your Todd for the lads. Deadline day. Gavin here on his own. Lads. sending out WhatsApps. Anyone?
Loads of Dorito dust on.
Hey, he's coming in now, lads.
Big Tesco bag on the table.
Okay, one question.
Can we do it from Tesco?
Do it
at the fucking bag.
Save me fucking carrying the cans too far. Do it in the deli section of Tesco.
What was I going to say? Question. The questions need to be: How is it acceptable to let Coutinho and Sturridge go in the same window and replace them with no one? Well, I'll tell you how it's acceptable. They need money to buy baseball players in Boston because they're taking all the money out of the club, and that's what they're doing.
It's not get your money on the Red Sox next year.
Get your money on the Red Sox. Yeah. I've even heard that they're going to start playing baseball games in Anfield as soon as they get enough of the locals to leave because the ticket price is too much.
That's why they're not fixing the
Anfield Road End.
They're going to demolish it and pull it.
Squeezy, squeezy.
See. Andy, you got to keep your eyes very close to this. It's not what?
To let them two players go and not replace them.
Well, hang on a second. Sturridge has contributed three goals this season in the league. Sorry, being part. I think he's got one league goal and two assists.
Yeah.
And he's played something like an average of 30 minutes. I was looking at this today because I was saying how much of an impact has he had in the Premier League. He's played an average of 30 minutes per game over the 14 games that he's been available for.
Mm.
That's shit.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I don't think people are worried about letting the Daniel Sturridge
I'm not. I'm more worried about replacing Daniel Sturridge, whether he's here or not, whether anyone wants him or not. I'm more interested in bringing in a player where, you know, if anything happens, Firmino or he runs into a bad bit of form, you have somebody there that's, you know, proven and ready. And
but what's he proven? But this is the. This, sorry, you mean a new player?
A new
coming
player,
in?
I mean.
Sorry, but we're not going to do that in January.
I just want a squad where a player is in it and he's in it and he's useful to us, because Daniel Sturridge is of no use to this club anymore.
No.
So that's the only. That's where I'm going. Forget about him going or not.
Would you take the $1.5 million that Inter have offered for a loan deal to the end of the summer?
No.
No.
Why would you do that? Because they need
to pay the wages for this new baseball fella.
And it's that'll cover million. At least 1 week of that baseball fella's wages.
What is Sturridge Johnny's on about 150 grand a week, is he?
Who?
Like
oh, Cop 80
Sturridge.
Says there, Gav 48 and an emoji of a watch. No, I'm going to go 72 hours the next time.
72 hours?
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be a big countdown now from Monday night. You know what I mean?
What time does
the transfer window close?
I think it actually closes at
11.
11. 12. Yeah. So what's that? 11 p.m. Sunday night, the countdown starts.
You know, there's Dublin time. It's just, they discontinued it in 1962. We used to be 20 minutes ahead of London.
Yeah.
Or behind. Behind London. We're 20 minutes behind London, yeah.
Yeah.
So in the future. So then they got rid of it. We just assimilated the
That's me typing.
That's fine.
800 years of oppression and we never gave in to the bastards. As soon as we become independent, grand, we'll use the English tone. That's grand.
Wow.
Anyway.
Why'd you call them bastards, Phil?
Well,
seems unfair.
I don't care.
Saying it seems unfair, that's all.
It is. Just give me balaclava back.
So, do you think we'll sign anyone?
I haven't. What we're going to sign anyone.
We're signing Tito Rodriguez to play a forward base.
We've signed one good player in January in 7 years. Why would we? Yeah. Why would that be any different?
Well, I don't know. When the talk of it came about that he was gone, I was fully convinced that he wouldn't go without a replacement
lined up.
And as time has went on, I'm less and less convinced every day.
I am.
But
as
now
well.
Sturridge goals as well. Like despite not playing much of a part, it is an extra bit of weight out of the squad. Gone.
Yeah. Well, put it this way: if we have an injury crisis, and I know he has his fair share of injuries as well, he would be someone that potentially we would be able to fall back upon if required. So you won't have him either. I think basically our biggest threat to not finishing top four
is ourselves.
Is the fact that we've left ourselves now vulnerable to injuries and suspensions.
I just want to say one thing.
In a really meaty part of the season.
And I think it is. The most valid argument around this that is there, that they need to do something. When we were talking about who the FA Cup team was, and I was being a bit facetious in terms of not really giving a shit. Well, it's not really, but at the same time, when Steve started going through who's going to play in midfield, straight away, with Henderson only recovering from an injury and you're looking at who's going to play in midfield, we're lacking bodies. One of the great things that Coutinho was giving us was he was given another option in midfield.
In front.
To rotate with the three or rotate with the three that's in midfield. Yeah. By losing him, we lose Sturridge out of there. You're now reliant on Ings, Solanke and Firmino getting us through. You have a big injury to Firmino and you're almost fully reliant then on Ings or Solanke stepping up to the plate and replacing the goals and assists that Firmino is.
I don't think you are. I think you end up probably pushing Salah centrally and moving Oxlade-Chamberlain into the front three.
Yeah, but in that way then you're taking away a bit from what Salah's doing. Like, you know, you're compromising Salah and the way he plays the game because of what we've done with a transfer policy. As Andy said, he was convinced when we saw Coutinho we'd have someone lined up. But back to the summer, the big thing that we were told was, or we were made to believe, was Liverpool refused Barcelona's offer, and it was out of hand because they didn't have time for a replacement. Now, you can't tell me, so basically what they said was, no, we can't go, we've no replacement, we haven't had enough time. They've had more than enough time now, so what's changed? Yeah. That's the question I'd ask, and people keep saying to me, oh, we're waiting until the summer. If I fucking hear we're waiting until the summer one more time.
Well, what's changed?
Gav, we're waiting until the
changed?
Summer.
No,
we're
what's not. Changed?
Actually, I think we are.
What's fucking
allegedly changed is he made it impossible for Klopp to keep him. Or he made it very difficult for Klopp to keep him. Klopp couldn't visualise him playing for the rest of the season. He couldn't fit into his plans the way his attitude and everything else was. But that didn't just happen on January 1st.
No, it didn't.
He's
been telling teammates since August.
Yeah, you know, he's been, like, whatever acting the bollocks he's been doing it a few months.
I'm going to Barca.
And then there's no value in the market. So you're looking at teams around you doing
realistically, what do you do? How do you prepare for that situation? You go, right, well, more than likely we're going to have to sell him because this is the problem he's causing us. So let's say to Barcelona, this is causing us a problem. You're going to pay the premium for that problem and we're going to go out and we're going to pay the premium to buy a player in January. And that's it. Like that's the thing resolved.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you turn and you say to Barcelona, we have these two players lined up, and if we get them for X amount, you get Coutinho for this. If it costs us more, you pay more. Like you said, the premium.
Okay. Look,
we don't really know who Klopp is after. Who he has.
We don't.
Lamar came out of nowhere. Lamar started with Liverpool. Like Liverpool rumors 2 days before the window closed.
Yeah. And that was when the Coutinho rumors were going around that he might really be sold before. Yeah. I'll just say
because Lamar was going to Arsenal all summer.
Yeah, and then it stopped because he was coming to us. I know people have mentioned Fekir. As far as I'm aware, there's meant to be a deal already in place for Fekir to go to Atletico Madrid at the end of the season to replace Griezmann.
Griezmann!
So that's probably...
When he moves to Liverpool as the mystery player.
As the mystery player, yeah.
Right.
And also your point about not waiting until the summer to sign players. It's a World Cup year. Any of the players that we're interested in, you're not going to get a reduction in the price.
No,
you're actually going to see
the
players.
And you're going to get them a month too late
because they're at the World Cup.
Would you see this thing of waiting until the summer, right?
Lamar's not going to the World Cup.
Lamar isn't?
No.
He's in the French squad, isn't he?
No, apparently he's not going.
Well, he just decided I'm not going to Russia. I'm not going to Russia. I'm going to Liverpool. Going to Blackpool.
Yeah.
Oh, wink, wink. Nod, nod.
2 weeks of Marbella booked.
Anyway, we need to wrap up here. So anyway, for everyone that's watched on tonight, thanks very much. Thanks for coming along. It's been Gav Doyle on a big cushion. Steve O'Daly back from Australia. Ready to go. From Brookside Close.
Ron
Dicko's long lost
and of course the biggest ITK on Twitter. If you want to know what's really going on, follow Andy. He has the inside line on the mystery man. No bullshit. He said he will reveal it when it's time to reveal
all bullshit.
If you want to know who's the man behind Grizz's, the ones that Grizz gets right, it's Andy Young. Now, we don't normally put it out there, but that's what's going on there. And he's also the
tonight
one
tonight we're dealing in facts.
Yeah. He also generally gives most of the lads who you think are the real ITKs the heads up on the info that's coming through. Like, Andy did know the team for last night. like in September.
Anyone who knows me knows I do the DMs.
Andy does the DMs as well. He'll slide into your DMs and give you the knowledge.
Sliding into your DMs at night while you're asleep.
So on that bombshell, big thanks to Skills Zone, the Astro, for letting us do this. Remember, good night, don't have nightmares.
It's all James Pierce's fault.
It's all James Pierce's fault.
What I don't understand, just before I go, is that Steve-O went to Australia with black hair and he's come back with red hair. So I don't understand at all that.
Koala piss.
Koala piss. Chlamydia piss, more like. You want to get that hair down to the SDI clinic in James's. Good night. God bless. Don't have nightmares.
When you get a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt, it comes from the police.
And from your mother.
And your best friend.
And your family.
We want you to buckle up every trip, every time.
3 out of 4 people ejected from a vehicle in a crash will die.
If you won't do it for yourself,
do it for us. We like having you around.
Click it or ticket. A message from the Michigan Office of Highway Safety Planning.
Hey, don't forget the Johnsons are coming over. I want to find a rosé Jill hasn't tried yet.
Let's go exploring at Total Wine. Their prices are ridiculously low.
Wondrous selection, helpful guides, always low prices. Total Wine and more.
Sports Social Podcast Network.